Hey, I'm so glad that you're here today. Are you glad you're here? Okay, there's some folks on this side that are glad they're here, and there's some folks on this side that are not sure. So are you glad you're here today? Amen. Amen. Awesome. I'm glad I'm here, and let me just tell you, like, I've praised the Lord so hard today, just seeing what God's been doing. My voice is a little bit thin at this point, but let me just say, if on this first Sunday, if this was my last Sunday to praise Him, I want to give Him everything I got. You know, I want to live my life all out for God, and I want to give my praise all out for Him. Thanks for starting out this year with us today. Today, if you came from a traditional church, or maybe if you're a part of the Hispanic culture, you know a word that many other people don't know. And that the word is Epiphany. And this happens to be, in many cultures and many churches, the celebration of Epiphany. It is a religious Sunday in some places where they commemorate the arrival of the wise men, they commemorate the arrival of the three kings. Now, we don't necessarily observe that Sunday, and in the Hispanic culture, they actually call it Three Kings. Let me just bring a little bit of clarity to it. I understand that traditionally people say there was three kings, but we don't know how many kings actually came. We don't know how many wise men actually came. And most Bible historians don't think that they showed up at the manger. You know, when you buy those little manger scenes, and there was a baby Jesus in there, and Mary and Joseph and wise men, shepherds, and the wise men are there. Really, they didn't show up for like 2.5 years, which could, I was going to say that some of you, you could have been wise men because you show up really late for church too. But beside the point. So I was trying to get a little bit more clarity to be able to share with you on Epiphany. We don't celebrate Epiphany, but I think it's worth us having a conversation about today. I went to the fount of all knowledge to find out more about Wikipedia, about Epiphany. I went to Wikipedia. And Wikipedia, you know, if it's on the internet, it must be true. Here's what Wikipedia says about Epiphany. It commemorates, but not solely, the arrival of the Magi, the wise men showing up. We know that they came from the Far East. Now, let me just tell you what the significance of their arrival is. Take it away from Epiphany and just the significance of their story in the Bible. What's significant about them showing up is they came from the Far East, which means that they were not Jews. Most likely Asian of some sort. And when they show up, they're some of the very first people to worship God. And to me, it's symbolic that Christ didn't come just for the Jews. But very quickly, there would be Gentiles that would worship Christ. That means the whole world. You know, the Jews, and they consider everybody else that's not Jewish to be Gentiles. And that means you. That means you and me, those of us of Western culture or any other culture, that Christ didn't just come for the Jews, that He came. And the Bible symbolizes that very early, that Christ came for everyone. And they worshiped Him. They were some of the first that worshiped Him. So let me go back to Wikipedia. Here's what it says about Epiphany. It's customary to remove Christmas decorations on Epiphany Eve. Okay, let me ask about Christmas decorations for a couple minutes just to do a survey here. How many take down Christmas decorations the day after Christmas? Like, you're ready for that stuff to come down. How many? Yeah. Okay, so yeah. Steve? Yeah, I'm with you. How many, at least wait till the first of the year? Like, that's your mark. Go ahead and show me your hand. Yeah. Okay. How many of you actually wait for Epiphany, like the celebration? Yeah, very cool. How many of you just wait till, like, you're refreshed from being exhausted over the holidays, and somewhere in January you take them down? How many of you leave them up all year long? Go ahead and don't be ashamed. Go ahead. For those of you who do that, let me say, Wikipedia defines you as crazy. You know? No, not really. You're not really crazy, but a little bit odd. But here's the deal about that. It's the time when traditionally people take down their decorations when they observe Epiphany. There's just a little bit more. Let me talk about this. Wikipedia says that it's celebrated with singing. We've been doing that today. Chalking the door. I've never heard of that. Has anybody ever chalked the door? Generally, I consider that vandalism, but that's a whole different deal. Attending church. Hey, it's first Sunday of the year. You're here. Let's see. And then the other thing is it's about having one's house blessed or having your home or your life blessed. How many of you want to have your home blessed? How many want to live a blessed life? I mean, God, I believe, wants our lives to be blessed. And so this is a great time for us to consider what that takes. Merriam-Webster, they talk about epiphany also. This is a little bit more of a legitimate definition. It's a religious observation of the coming of the Magi. The second definition is an appearance or manifestation, especially of a divine being. An epiphany is when you see something divine, a divine being, an appearance of an angel or some kind of a manifestation. Hey, can I just talk about the fact that we had a girl that was raised from the dead after her heart had been stopped for 10 minutes? Like, so let me, that, talk about a manifestation. Like, seriously, like, that's the real deal there. And then here's the third definition in Merriam-Webster Dictionary. An illuminating discovery, a realization, or disclosure. An illuminating discovery that something takes place and your eyes are open, that you see things in a new way, that you have a discovery, that you have a new vision, a new perspective, like you're moving in one direction in life and then all of a sudden something takes place and it stops you and your eyes are open to the direction you're taking and you begin to move in a new direction. It's an epiphany. You have a new understanding of something. And you know what my prayer is for you this year here at Christ Church of Orlando? I pray that in a new way, in a profound way, that you get a new perspective, that you get a new vision of what God wants to do in your life in 2018. Now, I know many of the people here at Christ Church, and let me just say, we've seen some people walk through some hardships in 2017. Can somebody say amen? Like some of you walked through some real trials in 2017. But you know what I got to say? It's 2018 and you're here. It's 2018 and you're still standing. Hey, it's 2018 and you're ready for something brand new. Can somebody say amen? Ready for something brand new. I saw a couple of people post this scripture. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Isaiah 43 verse 19. I always say this is one of my favorite scriptures. I don't really have a lot of not favorite scriptures, but, you know, it's one of the things I say. Isaiah 43, 19, hear the word of the Lord. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? Do you get a new vision? Get a new perception. Let your eyes be open to a brand new thing. I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. You maybe it's 2017. You felt like you were in a wilderness. 2017 felt like a difficult time. 2017 felt like you were in a wasteland. But let me just tell you, God's making a way in a new place with a new perspective, a new vision for your life. Are you ready for it today? Amen. Maybe there were some things that you did in 2017 that didn't work. Made some resolutions in 2017. Paul kind of had some things that he talked about, the Apostle Paul, one of the people that he wrote most of the New Testament. Philippians, the third chapter, here's what he says. Listen to this. Brothers and sisters, I know I have not yet reached the goal. Like he had some goals that he was reaching for, some things that he wanted to do, some things he wanted to take place in his life. But there's one thing I always do. I forget the past and strain towards what is ahead. I keep trying to reach the goal and get the prize for what God has called me through Christ to my life, to life above. Now, last year, how many of you made resolutions in 2017? Anybody make resolutions? Any resolution people here? I used to make resolutions. I really don't do them anymore because honestly, like they always seem to almost work out in the opposite of what I want. You know, like I make a resolution to lose weight and I gain weight, you know? I make a resolution to save money and I spend more. I make a resolution to be nice and then somebody hits my car and I'm not nice. And, you know, I mean, the Bible says, confess your faults one another, pray for one another, you'll be healed. So here's what, since things are working in the opposite, I've decided to make opposite resolutions this year. I'm making a resolution to gain weight. I'm making a resolution to spend more money. I'm making a resolution to be mean. You know, not really. But here's the deal. Let me just tell you, I really don't believe in resolutions, because resolutions almost seem like a wish list. I think there's something better that we could do rather than living out a resolution. How about if we just approach life with a new vision and live in change? Like when something comes up, rather than approaching it the way we used to approach it, change. Live our lives out in 2018 in change. Not making promises that we are not going to keep, but instead, in the daily moments of life, just live it out changing. And when I go to lunch after church today, live it out in change. When I am at my house and I have time to go work out, live it out in change. Not making promises or resolutions, but live my life out in change. Get a new vision for your life. That's my hope for you, is that you'll get a new vision, a new perspective, have an epiphany of what your life could look like, and then live that change out. Let's stop making resolutions and let's start making changes. So with that in mind, there are a couple of things that I would like for you to consider. Some places maybe we could change together. Are you ready? I'd like for you, there's a place in the bulletin you could write these down if you want to take some notes and take them home and think about them for a little while. Here's the first thing I'd like for you to consider. Will you commit yourself to forget your failures? Commit yourself to forget your failures. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote, and we just read it a few moments ago, Philippians, the third chapter. Forgetting what is behind. I'm forgetting what's behind. I'm forgetting what was back there. I'm forgetting the places where I didn't measure up. I'm forgetting the failures that I had. Forget what is behind and strain forward. Like, I'm going to give all my energy to moving forward to what lies ahead. I press towards the goal which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He's called me upward. He's called you to be lifted from the place where you are. Let me just tell you, we celebrated Christmas. Christ didn't just come to save the earth. He came to live with us. He came to empower us so that we could change this world and we could change our world. He wants your world to change. Get a vision of what God has for you. I don't know about you, but one of the most amazing things they ever made was a DVR. Anybody have a DVR? DVR is where you can record your television shows. And honestly, if it wasn't for a DVR, I'd never watch TV. Because I'm never home when the shows are on, so I get to watch them when I get home, and I get to play them back, and if I want to see a scene again, I'll just play it back again, and then if I don't want to see it again, you know what I do? I delete it. And you know what happens in our lives? We walk through circumstances. We walk through things in our life, and most of the time, what we play back for ourselves are not our successes. What we play back for ourselves are our failures. In fact, the enemy, he almost has a remote control, and it seems like when we're walking through life and we've made a mess up of some sort, he loves to get to the DVR in our mind and reverse it and then play it back to us over and over and over again. And we try to move forward. Instead, what we still see is we see our failures. A couple of months ago, I had a power surge at my house, and it erased some of the television shows that I had hoped to see. And so I called them, and they said, no, we can't. I'm like, can you get these back for me? Is there a place, is there a memory somewhere? And they said, no, the power surge took them out. You know what I think today? I think there's some people here at Christ Church of Orlando. You need a power surge from the Holy Spirit. I think you need a power surge from the Holy Spirit that will take some of the stuff that you've recorded, that you keep playing, the failures that you keep playing over and over again, the things that the enemy, the things that the devil keeps bringing up in your mind. It's time to erase those things and move forward. Somebody say amen. I wrote this down. I just want you to write this down if you don't mind. It's simple. Stop torturing yourself. Seriously. Stop beating yourself up. Jesus came to this earth and he was whipped so you don't have to whip yourself. Jesus came to this earth and he was hung on a cross so you don't have to hang yourself on a cross. Jesus came to this earth and he died so that you might live. Live in the life of Christ and stop torturing yourself. Number two, commit yourself to give up your grudges. Listen to these words from Colossians. Paul writes these words to the church at Colossae. Colossians 3, verse 13. Bear or put up or suffer or endure with each other and forgive each other whatever grievances you have against each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Give up your grudges. Do you know what a grudge is? It's an ongoing resentment. It's something that you have to harbor. It's something that you have to keep. It's something you have to nurture. And here Paul is saying that the things that you have in your heart, bear with one another, forgive each other, whatever grievances. But you don't know what they did to me. If I could come down there and get the microphone, you'd understand why I still have his grief in my heart. I understand. But you know what? When Christ forgave, he did it without exception. Every one of your sins, every one of your mess ups, everything that you've done in your life that would cause grief to God, he just forgave you. And then he challenges us to be like him and forgive others in the very same way. Give up your grudges. Grudges destroy marriages. Grudges destroy families. Grudges destroy friendships. Grudges destroy churches. They destroy offices. They destroy our lives. It's not just destructive, it's self-destructive. We're not killing other people when we have a grudge. We're actually killing ourselves. I heard the story a while back about a couple that was hurt by somebody they went to college with. And after many years, they had carried this grudge and they built a bomb and sent it to him in the mail. And when he opened the bomb, he obviously died. And then after hearing that he had died, they committed suicide. They didn't just hurt him, it killed them. They were dead on the inside from a grudge that they had harbored for years. Give up your grudges. I saw this story a while back. This is a house in San Francisco. It's a beautiful home. Let's just take a moment, look at this. Isn't that gorgeous house? Obviously, to own a classic style home like this in San Francisco. Let me tell you the story behind this house. There was a husband and a wife who were going through a bitter divorce. And in this bitter divorce, he then, after the divorce, bought a piece of property and built a house. There was a sliver, a small piece of land, just a narrow tract of land in front of his house, which she bought, and to block his access from the street and access from light and utilities and stuff, she built this house. But here's what it looks like from the side. It's 4.5 feet wide. Out of her grudge, her determination to hurt her ex-husband, she built a house she can't live in. And there are some of us, we have a grudge, and we're carrying this grudge, and we think we're going to spite somebody by carrying this grudge, but you know what it does? We build a house we can't live in. It's time to let those things go. It's time to give up on our grudges. Here's what Max Lucado, a great writer, says. Unforgiving servants always end up in prison. Prisons of anger and guilt and depression. God says to you in his word, don't sentence yourself to prison. Let go of your grudge. Release yourself. No matter how much someone has done wrong to you, you can decide to forgive. Maybe some of us here today need to forgive parents. Maybe there's somebody here today that need to forgive children. Children that have said things or done things that have hurt. Maybe some of you need to forgive a spouse or a partner. Maybe some of you need to forgive somebody in your past that abused you. Maybe some here today, you need to forgive somebody that you work with who has been cruel or done something against you. You have to forgive them. Maybe you need to forgive a church member. They might have said something or done something, and we don't have a lot of strife here at Christ Church, but let me just tell you, that doesn't keep the enemy from lying to people and trying to create issues. You know, there are sometimes they're like, did they look at me? Did they just walk past me? Did they not talk to me? I've noticed 3 Sundays they haven't talked to me. And we begin to nurture a grudge. Maybe it's time for us to give up our grudges. Maybe it's time for us to give up our grudges for people who don't think or act or live like us. Maybe it's time for us to give up our grudges for people who are on the opposite aisle of politics from us. Somebody say amen today. You say, I can't forgive. I can't let that stuff go. No, it's not a matter of you can't forgive. It's you won't forgive. It's you won't forgive. You can forgive if you choose to forgive. If Christ forgave you, you can forgive someone else. Here's the third one. Are you ready? Commit yourself to restore your relationships. Commit yourself to restore your relationships. Here's what it says in Romans, the 12th chapter and the 18th verse. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. There's a key phrase in this. If it's possible, live at peace with everyone. Let me just talk about that. I understand that there are some people that are just about impossible to live with. I understand that there are some people that maybe you're not going to get along with them. But let me just tell you how it can be possible in some circumstances. When it's you who created the offense, when you've been a participator of making the offense worse, when you've been participating in a battle of some sort, if it's at all possible, and if you've been involved in it, it's possible because you have a part. If it's at all possible, live at peace with everyone. I wonder how many marriages represented here today are in difficulties because somebody has chosen not to make it possible. I wonder how many friendships have been destroyed because there's somebody who has not made it possible. All it takes is a simple conversation. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And you might say, well, they were wrong, and they need to know that they're wrong. And let me just tell you, Christ forgave you when you were wrong and decided to forgive you before you even asked for it. Make the decision to forgive. Here's our next one. Are you ready? Number four, commit yourself to turn your back on your transgressions. Commit yourself to turn your back on your transgressions. I heard many years ago, you know, there used to be an underground railroad where they would take slaves out of slavery and transport them to the north. One of the key people that was involved in that was a woman by the name of Harriet Tubman. And Harriet Tubman, later on, they were asking her how and why she would risk her life. And they said to her, what was the greatest challenge that you faced in helping people in slavery to get free? And she said, the greatest challenge was convincing them that they were slaves. Convincing them that they were slaves. Because they had lived their lives in slavery, and so consequently their identity had become identity of slaves. And she said, there was many opportunities where we could have taken them to freedom, and they just didn't think they needed it. I wonder how many people there are that live in slavery to addiction, who live in slavery to some habit, to live in slavery to something maybe that you think you inherited through your family. Maybe it's anger that you live in. Like, everybody in my family's had anger issues. Everybody in my family's been alcoholics. Everybody in my family has been drug addicts. Everybody in my family, that's just who I am. Today, I'm going to challenge you. You, when you came to Christ, you got a new family. You got a new identity. You're no longer that person. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have come new. So turn your back on those transgressions and live the new life that God has for you. Amen. A couple of months ago, I had a problem with my computer. And I kept having an error that was coming up. So I called Apple and asked them to help me with this. And I had a great technician, and he gave me a couple things that he wanted me to do. And he said, it's going to take a couple hours, so I'll call you back tomorrow and see if this works or not. So the next morning, he called me and had me to reboot the computer. And when I rebooted the computer, the error came up, and he said, tell me what it says. And I told him he said, same old fault. Same old fault. So he gave me some new things to do. And after I tried a couple of new things to do, sure enough, we were able to get that done. We were able to move past it. There are some of you that you just learned to live with the same old fault. There are some of us that we've just learned to live with the same old bad habit, the same old bad nature. Let me just challenge you. Get a new vision. Have an epiphany that God has a better life for you in 2018. Don't make a resolution. Just live it out and change. Allow Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit to bring change into your life. I'm going to do one more and then I'm going to close here. And Sean, if you want to come back. Commit yourself to walking out. Here's number five. Are you ready? Commit yourself to walking in the blessing and the favor of God. Commit yourself to walking in the blessing and the favor of God. Like some of us, we wonder, like, is this even possible? Like, what does that mean to have the blessing and the favor of God? And I know that there are a lot of people that they misinterpret what some of this means. But let me say, Christ intends for us to enjoy his favor. In Luke, the fourth chapter, Jesus is talking, and he's talking at the temple, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, release of the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Do you know what that means to me? It means that it's possible to have the Lord's favor. It's possible to walk in the favor of the Lord, that it's something he came to do, that his Spirit creates for us. Paul the Apostle, who wrote half of the New Testament, he says this in 2 Corinthians, the sixth chapter. He says that as fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, "In the time of my favor you heard, in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time God's favor." Now is the time of God's favor. I don't know what you did in 2017. I don't know what you walked through in 2017. I don't know what kind of mistakes you've made in your past. I don't know what kind of errors you've made. I don't know how bad 2017 has been for you. But let me just declare to you in the name of the Lord, 2018 is the year of God's favor. Get a new perspective. Get a new vision. Have an epiphany. Open your eyes that God wants to do something brand new in your life. God desires to bless your household. One of the things that it said in Epiphany is that it's a blessing of a household. God wants to bless your household. And you might say, well, okay, so how do I do this? Did you know there are some things that you can actually do to receive the blessing of the Lord? Let me read to you out of Galatians, the sixth chapter and the ninth verse. This is the Apostle Paul writes this, and here's what he says. "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. What a man sows, a man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing well, because in due season you will reap a harvest if you faint not." Okay, so let me just talk to you. If you read this whole chapter, he's actually talking about the way we conduct our lives, that it's possible for us to bless, and that if we sow blessing into other people's lives, we'll receive blessing back into our lives. That if we speak blessing over other people's lives, the Lord promises that in due season, he'll bless you back. If you're generous to other people, he'll be generous back to you. If you speak good things about those who have cursed you, when your time comes, he'll speak good things back into your life. Somebody say amen. See, God wants to bless your life, and it's possible for you to open up your life to the blessings of God by simply blessing other people. Let me tell you where you can start. You can start in your house. If you want your house to be blessed, begin to speak blessing over your household. "My husband's so dumb. My wife is so lazy." The Bible says in the book of James that we should bless and not curse, that good and spoiled, good and sour, good and salty water can't come from the same mouth. Speak blessings. If you want your house to be blessed, begin to speak blessings over your house. If you want your children to be blessed, speak a blessing over your children. I had a lady that said to me a couple of years back, her husband was an executive in a major corporation. And she told me, she said, every morning when my husband's walking out the door, I speak blessings over him. I'm like, he's going to be blessed when he gets to the office. He's going to have favor from his leaders. He's going to have favor in that corporation. He's going to make deals. The Lord's going to bless him with finances. And I have to tell you, when he retired, he was the executive vice president of Winn-Dixie of Florida. But let me just tell you, God wants to bless you. Speak blessings over your house. Stop speaking negative things, because whatever you sow, you'll reap back. So if you want to open up your life to the blessings and the favor of God, are you ready? How about bless those? These are the words of Jesus. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Bless the people that are not blessable. And when you speak the blessings of God over them in the places of your life that are not blessable, God will speak blessings back into your life. So speak blessings over somebody else. Today, I'm going to pray for you in these next few moments. How many want the blessings of God? Will you praise him now for a few moments for his blessings? Come on, praise him because he wants to bless you. Hallelujah. Everybody, will you stand together today? Maybe there's someone here today that you've never had the opportunity to just know that God loves you and he has a great plan and a great future for your life, that he doesn't want to condemn you. He wants to love you into your future. And so today, I'm going to give you the opportunity just to say yes to him and surrender to him. You don't even have to know doctrine. You don't even have to know everything about God to say yes. Just start to follow him. We're going to give you the opportunity to begin to follow him today. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to invite you in these next few moments just to say yes to him, receive him into your heart, surrender to him so that your life changes. It's an epiphany. It's a change forever. Lord, let our eyes be open and our hearts be open to receive the work you're about to do in this room. Change our lives forever. I'm going to ask every person in this room to pray with me. Just say this prayer out loud as we pray and receive Christ. Pray with me if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge that Jesus is your Son and that he came to this earth to give me a new life, to give me an abundant life. So today I walk away from my old life and I step into the life that you have for me. And from this day forward, I'll follow you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer and needed to pray that prayer, just like, man, I'm ready to just walk into a new thing with God. If you just prayed that prayer and need to pray that prayer so I can pray for you in the days ahead, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you in the days ahead. Could I see your hand right now? Yes, I see it. Yes, hands all over this room. There's hands all over this room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, Lord, we ask you that you'll seal this work by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Everyone, if you'll just listen for a few moments, if you just prayed that prayer and needed to pray that prayer, there's a place in the seat in front of you. There's a card that says, hey, I made a decision to follow Christ. Before you leave today, will you fill that card out and let us help you start this journey with God? But I want to pray over every person in this room now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's just pray together. Lord, today in the name of Jesus, we receive what you have for us. We ask you that our eyes would be opened and that our hearts would be transformed. Dear Lord, that we would step into the calling that you have for us, the higher calling, that we would step into the life that you have for us, not resolutions, not empty promises, but a life of change. And so, Lord, we're asking you that in these moments right now, will you bring change into our hearts? Dear Lord, for those that have grudges, for those that have unforgiveness, for those that have hurts and wounds, now will you flood this room with your Holy Spirit and heal hearts? Empower them to forgive those who have wounded them. Dear Lord, we're asking you that you would heal scars, and dear Lord, that you would heal people's hearts so that they can step into their future unafraid, uncondemned, dear Lord, living life for you. Lord, I ask you, God, in the name of Jesus, that you'll heal marriages, that you'll heal relationships between parents and children and brothers and sisters. And dear Lord, in us, that you'll be glorified in our words and what we say and do as we walk this change out. And Lord, now I pray over every household and every marriage. Lord, we come against and stand against every assignment on every home and every marriage. And we declare your abundance, your grace, your mercy, that your spirit dwells in our places. And dear Lord, we live this out as you change us from glory to glory. And now, Lord, we receive it. We receive it. Everybody, I want you to look in this direction for just a second, if you would. I saw something astounding this week. I saw a little girl, 11 years old, in a church somewhere, and they handed her a microphone, and they said, just preach. She was 11 years old. And she walked up to the microphone, and she said, does anybody know what an umbrella is? And everybody said, yeah. And she said, an umbrella keeps the rain from falling on you. She said, does anybody know what a funnel is? She said, a funnel catches the rain. She said, we ought to praise God with our hands up and our voices raised, so when the rain begins to come, it's a funnel for him to fall on us. So you know what I want you to do for just a few moments? The Bible says, it's scriptural, raise your hands in the house of God, in the sanctuary, without wrath or doubting. So are you ready? Let's just take a few moments here and raise our funnel. Ask the Holy Spirit to fall on us. Do a new work in us. Lord, rain on our lives. Lord, let your glory fall. Lord, let your presence fall on us as we step into a new thing for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise your name, Jesus. We praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.